Welcome to the Pulp MX podcast. I'm your host, Steve Mathis, and I've got the gang back together. Jason Thomas and Jason Wygant. Welcome, guys, to the what used to be a twice annual Supercross and Motocross look, and now we've just managed to make a Motocross one. So thank you, though.
To us?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're welcome, I guess.
Well,
I thought you meant to the fans for listening.
No, to you guys, because we used to do this all the time, and then you don't want to do them anymore, and JT's always busy. So we managed to make it happen for the outdoors, though.
We're back.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. I was down at a. Well, I don't want to say where I was. I was at a top secret location at one of the biggest aftermarket exhaust companies, and I was down there, and it's run by a guy,
Bill's Pipes.
Yeah, it was Bill's Pipes. I was down there bench racing with the guys the other day, and we had some pretty good epic sessions. But they don't think that my guy in a 450, that my sleeper guy, is even going to be near a sleeper guy, but we'll get to that. Let's cover the 250 class first. Is there any doubt that Porcel, Barcia, Kennard, and Weimer are your top four guys? Anybody?
250 class is kind of tough, man. It's kind of hard. It's hard to predict that in the 250 class. You never know who might light fire and be able to run with those guys.
But,
so I can't say that there isn't any doubt. There's a chance that someone else could get in there.
But those are the four favorite, right, JT?
Yeah, I mean, I think you didn't say Wilson, right? I think Wilson could get in there.
I didn't say Wilson or Rattray or Searle.
Yeah, I'm not real big on Rattray so far, just from, like, the races he's done, REM stuff, and from what I've been hearing. But I think Wilson could kind of be one of those guys. He's got a great bike, and I think it's going to depend on how he comes out. I think if he comes out at Hangtown and he's fast in practice and gets a good start at the first moto, I think he is going to do well. I think as long as his confidence doesn't get rattled early, you know.
Right.
Because there's so many guys that can go the same speed. If he gets confidence and, you know, knows on the start that all I got to do is get up front on the start and I can go, then I think he'll do really well.
Right. Weege, is there any doubt in your mind that Porcel wins this thing?
I guess Porcel always throws a little bit of doubt in there because you never know exactly what his, you know, situation is. Is he motivated? Is he trying? But I think you already proved in Supercross that even if you're worried about that, it still isn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't worry too much. They did handle him fairly well at the shootout there in Vegas, and I suppose that was because they didn't have a truck and he do not care. That's what he said. But, I mean, to me, he's the odds-on favorite going in. I think he was clearly the fastest guy last year, even maybe by the end of the year, nosing ahead of even Dungy. So hard to say. I think the one advantage maybe those four guys you mentioned have is, like JT said, the other guys have to maybe get something rolling at the beginning of the year. I'd say any of those four, even if they have a bad race in the first race, they are still going to be fast. Or even if they get a bad start, they're still going to be up there. Maybe that's the difference between those four and the other riders who maybe need everything to go their way to be up there each week.
Mm-hmm. JT, what were you going to say about Barcia before we rudely cut you off?
I was just kind of reviewing the guys you said. I think Barcia is obviously going to be up front. There's no doubt about that. He's already proven that, and he's a year older, and he'll be there. It's just, you know, whether he can keep it together for, you know, every race is, I think, the issue.
The guys I was bench racing with, they work for a guy whose name rhymes with Schmidt Schmaten, and they were saying that Porcel doesn't really want to test. He just said, "Give me my bike from last year. Give me my bike from last year." And I know I can win. I'm going to win. Just give me the bike from last year. So he sounds like he's confident. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's the type of stuff that I worry about a little bit, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Is that good? Well, JT, you know better than me. I mean, do things advance that much year to year? And is it bad for a guy to just take that approach?
I don't think so. Because I think that their bike is really similar from last year. Actually, I know it is. As far as OEM-wise, their bike's not any different at all. So unless it's stuff that Pro Circuit themselves have come up with that's better, then, you know, Kawasaki wise, they're no different. So I'm sure he's well aware of that. And coming off of last year, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be you know, really confident, you know, other than, you know, stuff that was out of his control at Southwick. He's probably coming in with the number one plate. So
the last time we saw Kennard, though, he was beating Dungey and Porcel. So just throwing that out.
Yeah, but, I mean, the last time, what, the last race? Or
yeah, like last time outdoors at Mount Morris.
Yeah, that's a year ago. You know that it was the third or fourth race. I mean, he wasn't winning the points or anything. So
Weege. The last time we saw Kennard, he was winning. He was beating those guys.
Yeah, and I believe Porcel said that Kennard was riding over his head to stay in front of him, and that's why he crashed.
Yeah, he did actually.
Yeah, he actually said that. So in other words, I don't think Porcel is saying I got lucky that kid got hurt.
Right.
You know what? I think Porcel might actually be tougher this year because as confident as he was going into the year, he had not actually had the chance to race outdoors in the United States. I'm sure he thought he could win, but now he actually knows that he can.
Yeah.
And I think he got better as the year went on. Remember, at the beginning of the year, we had five or six guys battling, and then it was just Dungey and Porcel.
Yeah.
And then it was eventually Porcel looked like the better guy, so he should almost be more confident than a year ago.
Although my guy Barsha got in there with a win at Southwick.
Man, I just don't know what you're going to get in a Barsha. There are weeks where he's super fast and can beat anybody, and then there's weeks where he goes 7-7. So was that a rookie thing? Maybe it is.
I think JT's right. I think he's going to have to worry about him hitting the ground every now and then.
Yep.
It's a long season, huh, JT? Like, people don't realize it's a grind.
Yeah, you think, you look at Barsha and his MO on the track is, you know, I don't know if you can go much faster than he goes when he's on. But you look at, 12 races, 24 motos, it's like 12 hours of actual racing time? Over that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Over an hour a day, yeah.
Like 12 hours of full racing, so that's a lot of time to not crash or have a big get-off or whatever the way he's going for it. So I think you have to take that into account versus how Purcell approaches it, where he may be the fastest guy also, but you rarely see a mistake or him, make a wrong move.
Mm-hmm.
You know what puzzles me about Barsha, though? Like, that's the way, say, Bradshaw rode. And Bradshaw was always fast, but sometimes he'd crash. But it seems to me like some days Barsha's fast, and then some days he's eighth in practice, or like I said, last year he'd just have days where he went 7-7 in the two motos. I don't remember like highlight reel, unbelievable wrecks where he was checking out in a moto, gone, and then threw it away. It seems like the speed is inconsistent to me. That's what I see. Like at Southwick, all of a sudden he was on it, but then at Steel City, where was he?
Right.
I think he got a third in a moto, but he was like a minute behind Dungey, who he beat the week earlier. But again, that could be a rookie thing. Maybe he'll iron out his training or what he needs to do.
So,
but that's what I find puzzling.
If we all think Purcell's going to get first, and we kind of do, who's getting second? Who's going to be Kennard or Weimer? I think maybe Weimer, huh?
I don't know. I think those two are pretty close. Yeah. I think Kennard, Kennard's yet to finish an outdoor season, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Weege? Yeah?
No, that's right.
Yeah,
Femur at Washougal and then Rist last year. So that you have to take that into account. I think he's going to be top three speed every time. Just that he's just good. I mean, but until he proves that he can finish, all 12 rounds, and it's, who's to say? I think Weimer's going to be really solid. I just think Weimer sometimes may be down on speed a little bit outdoors. But he's a great starter and he's solid, so I think that automatically puts him, as a top three candidate for the series.
Right. And so we got the four established. Well, Weege, what do you think? Who's going to get second?
Yeah, it's definitely tough between
Kennard
and Weimer. They've been pretty close most of the time they raced the last couple of years since Weimer's been on Pro Circuit. But I think it is an unknown as far as Kennard getting through all 24 rounds. He hasn't done it. I think Weimer, you can almost count on that happening. So maybe I'll give him that little edge over that. What do you think, Steve, by the way? I don't want this to be one of those shows where you ask the questions and no one throws it back.
I've been on one of those shows.
I've heard that, yeah.
I think Kennard has the speed over Weimer. Like, I think somebody just said that. JT, I think you did. Kennard has the speed over Weimer by a hair, but he's got it. And so I'm going to go with Kennard. He's been on fire.
Matt Porcell.
You know, he's been on fire in the Supercrosses and the 450s and stuff. So,
what about Porcell? Is he your favorite?
Yeah. Yeah, Purcell's got it, I think. I mean, there's just, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
You know?
So we got the top four. Dean Wilson, Rattray, Searle, Tickle. I like Stroop, but he's out until Redbud, so I really thought Stroop could be in the mix. Who's the next best? Who's the best of the rest of the guys? JT?
Man,
I'm missing somebody. I'm missing Wharton. I'm missing.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, Will Hahn, question mark. You know, obviously Stroop would be in there, but he's out. You know, I think Ryan Sipes is very capable of running up front.
Sipes is 450.
With a decent start.
Sipes is 450.
Oh, my bad. All right, you're right about that, actually.
Actually, no, I am, yeah.
Yeah, shut up. There's a lot of guys that, you know, obviously it's always the same in the lights class. There's probably 10 guys. You know, Tickle could run up front.
Mm-hmm.
The start is so critical in that class because, you know, the time difference between first and 12th is half a second a lap or something crazy a lot of times. So, tough to say. You know, that it's always been like that. If you get a great start, you can get third the first moto, and if you get a bad start, you can go 14th and be running the same exact pace, and there's just nothing you can do about it. So we'll see. You know, I know always going into the first round for me was always, you know, you're always wondering what you have. You don't really know yet. You know, everyone's been practicing. You get to practice with a lot of the same guys in California that week. But until the gate drops and everybody is really, you know, laying on the line, you don't really know. You know, this weekend answers a lot of questions. And I think even more, you know, in the big bikes, when we talk about it, I think that there's a lot more questions in that class than the lights guys. I think the lights guys are all going to be really close. And I think they're going to be bouncing around a lot. You know, there's going to be a lot of inconsistency.
Who's a guy who could surprise us this year, JT, in the lights class? Is there somebody?
I think, I don't know if it's really a surprise, but I expect Tickle to be up front a lot. In saying that, I think it's going to be dependent on his starts too.
Yeah.
You know, like I just said, but
Tickle,
I like that guy. I think he's on his way up. I think he'll get an even, you know, I don't want to say a better ride than he's got now, but I think he'll get a shot at you know, maybe Mitch's bike or a Factory Connection bike or something next year. I think he shows a lot of potential.
Weege, what do you think? Surprise.
I think there's a couple of guys who are really in limbo right now. They really need to have a good summer. You know, last year, Searle and Rattray were right on the top of the list. People were thinking they could maybe come over and win this whole thing. And it didn't quite work out. They didn't quite have the speed and that they needed to win the races. So I know Rattray won one moto at Southwick, but there was all kinds of craziness going on with the contenders in that one. So I think those two, they need to get something done here. And if I was Searle, I'd be especially mad because there's all this hype about KTM's going to bring over Marvin Musquin from the GPs in 2011. Mm-hmm. They're bringing him over.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were Searle, I'd be saying, well, wait a minute, they already brought me over.
Right.
I raced the GPs the year before, and I didn't even see the guy.
Yeah.
I'm KTM's guy. What's up?
Yeah.
So I think he has some motivation. If you're Rattray, you watched your four teammates dominate the shootout and you weren't even there. This is sink or swim, I'd say, for those two. I mean, what happens if Rattray goes out and gets sixth this year? What? And he has not proven himself in Supercross literally at all.
Yeah.
And Searle almost the same thing. What happens next for these guys?
I think they're out.
Right. So, opinion, I mean,
yeah.
My God, they've got to get something done this summer.
Right. Yeah, interesting case. The number one and two in the MX2 GPs come over and basically run 5-6 all summer until they get hurt or whatever.
Yep.
What about Tomac? Eli Tomac. There's my guy. LaRocco is very excited about him. He's got a good pedigree, as we know. So can Tomac do something?
I think he definitely has a chance at it. He's got a great bike, and obviously his, you know, with his dad's help, he's going to be prepared, I would think. You know, I have a hard time believing that he won't be physically ready to go. I don't know. It's it's tough to say coming into that class. It could go really well, or, he could kind of fall into the pack. Like Josh Grant came out, he got the hole shot and, was just checking out on everybody until he stalled it. So you never know. Like everybody else in that class, if he gets a great start and runs up front, then I think he is capable of going with them and building that confidence on the fly. But if he gets a bad start and gets mired in the pack, he's probably going to get frustrated and
do something dumb.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll do something dumb because everybody's saying that he rides so smooth, but I don't know if he'll be able to just move through the pack his first race ever,
Right.
I think there's a different scene. Last year he had Barcia in that situation, and I think Barcia was, I hate to use this word, but I think he was just cocky enough to where, even though he had never raced those guys, to think, dude, I'm going to win. I'm going to lead. I'm going to get the lead, and I'm just going to smoke these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't win the races, but I think that carried him. He did lead a lot of laps there. So there was no doubt in his mind when he went to the start that he was just going to show everyone what's up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Eli is that type of guy. I don't think he thinks that way, rides that way. He's almost the exact opposite of Barcia, about how smooth he is and kind of a methodical approach where Barcia just going for it.
Right.
So right out of the gate, I think Barcia's approach might be better, to make a huge splash right off the bat. But in the long run, I think Tomac's going to be good. So I just don't know when it's going to start.
Right. I think Wilson, too. I think Wilson will be – I think Wilson will run top three at times.
Yeah, I think so. He actually, to me, Wilson, I know he missed some races, but he was actually more competitive in Supercross than I thought. I mean, sometimes the rookies struggle, but he was right there almost every time he was on the track.
Yeah. I'd like to see him get in a little better shape, or maybe something happens. Something happens to him in Supercross where he drops back a little bit, but, JT, with Hangtown coming up and then a week off, and then the series picks up again in Texas, could we see somebody come out at Hangtown and maybe not perform, but, they take that week off and they ride and they perform differently in Texas? I mean, does the real season start in Texas if you were approaching it that way this year?
Well, I think obviously this weekend's important, but something obviously with the whole Glen Helen fiasco, it's different, going to be different this year because you've never really had a chance to, like you said, take that weekend off and really have time to improve before the next round. Right. And I definitely think there's going to be some guys that happens to, because I think there's going to be some guys that think they're ready and then they're going to get a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just going to lay it down, between now and Texas. And I think that you'll see a marked improvement. One of the guys I look for that to happen, and he could come out swinging at Hangtown. This has nothing to do with that, but I think Tommy Hahn will come out and he'll do well at Hangtown, but who knows what place he'll get. And then I think Texas is a really strong race for him. I think he's going to come out and be really strong at Texas and then continue to improve just like he did kind of last summer.
Right.
That's actually a really good point, because it's so tough when you have back-to-back, when you have a continuous series to actually have time to get better, because so much of your week is about recovery and trying to peak every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time to recover and then work really hard and then recover again before the next race is there. So it's kind of, without that weekend off, you're kind of stuck where you are for the time being.
Yeah, I look for the guys, because a combination of a different soil, and it's going to be hot in Texas. Like, it's almost going to be like a totally different race, and you're going to have a week off. So I look for the results to be shaken up somewhat at Texas. Do you agree with all that theory, Wygant?
Yeah, that actually does. I almost wonder if everyone does it this year, if they're not going to request for it to be like that from now on.
Yeah.
There's a guy who used to be a mechanic for Factory Yamaha who used to tell me about how the teams would do all this testing before the year. And then after Glen Helen, which is the only place they rode for testing, they'd go to the next rounds and then be completely up a creek without a paddle and then just trying to chase it all year long.
That guy was wise. That guy was smart.
That guy was a very smart guy.
He's a very smart guy, and I can attest to that.
How much would that help the riders to not be, great, we learned that we're off, and now it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, just different soils, and just, it's just going to act, bike's going to react differently. Rider's going to be in a different mindset. You're going to get a week off to forget about Hangtown or try to keep the momentum going in some cases. And, you know, I think it's going to be a different series come Texas. JT, I asked for some questions from people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple. One for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is for JT. When I say the word douche, who is the first person that comes to mind? Go.
Steve Mathis.
God damn it. That didn't work out too good.
I mean, that's shooting from the hip right there.
Yeah, I know. Weege, here's one for you. What's the real deal about J-Law Racing and GLA? What's happening with J-Law?
I think nothing is happening with J-Law as far as racing goes, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll be seeing him out there this summer. From one source, I heard that he is over the pressure of running a team and racing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the actual problem, but anyway, he's not racing. And then I heard that team is pretty much, since he's out of money,
mm-hmm.
which leads us to what's happening with Langston. And we know Langston didn't get the Kawasaki ride. There are some major, dire financial straits from what I've heard. And I even dialed up my old buddy JT last week to try to figure out what was going on, and no one's really sure. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to think Langston's going to show up on a Yamaha of some sort, but I'm not sure how.
Yeah, so, I spoke to Langston via text. I don't know if Andy yep. Boyer would clarify that as being legit or not, but Langston told me he will be at Hangtown on J-Law's team. It's going to look dramatically different. He used the words dramatically, and
wow.
And no J-Law. So, yeah, I think no fear has dropped, Jason. And AMPM is out, so that money is gone. So I think you'll see, yeah, some new sponsors of some sort. A lot of J-Law questions on here. People really...
Really?
I mean, let's say he's racing. I mean, he doesn't do anything, right?
Yeah, but he's a controversial character, that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, people... You know, if you post a video about J-Law on any website, you know, any of the big websites, post a video,
mm-hmm.
look at the comments. I mean, pages and pages of people backing him up, people hating him. I mean, the guy is a draw, you know.
Right.
It's unfortunate that he can't get it together and make it happen in one way or another. But
right.
the guy definitely creates some drama just being on the track.
Right, right. All right, well, let's move on to the 450 class. And Ryan Dungey, your buddy Chad Reed, JT, Michael Lessey, Andrew Short, Davey Millsaps, and Josh Grant. I've established those guys as the favorites. Am I all right with that, you guys?
Yeah. Did you say Han?
I didn't say Han, no.
I think Han should be. I mean, the guy won a national. He was top three in a bunch of motos. I think he's.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has to be in the conversation. You know, I don't know if he's going to win the title, but.
Right.
I think he's in the conversation because I think he can beat some of the top guys.
Is he as much in the conversation as Davey Millsaps?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think over a 12 race series. I think so.
Wygant, what do you think? Are those the contenders?
Yeah, I think so. And I would definitely put Han in there, right in there with say, Millsaps.
Yeah.
I think those are the guys that there really shouldn't be much of a question that they're going to be up there. I think there are some others that you just don't know, like Ben Townley. I have no idea. You know what I mean? He could easily. I think if he runs with those guys, I don't think anyone would be surprised. But if he doesn't, I don't think anyone would be surprised either. So
yeah,
that's the whole issue. I think those are your safest bets. Let me put it that way.
What do you think about Townley, JT? Almost 2 years off. He's apparently flying on the. Again, talking to the guys at Schmo Schmurket, Ben Townley's flying. You know, out here in California, and would have won the four-stroke national, whatever the hell that is, but he got a flat tire. The BT luck continues, but can he really win this race or win races, JT?
Speed-wise, yes. No question that Ben Townley can go fast enough.
Even with 2 years off?
Yes. That being said, there's a lot more to it than just being able to go fast enough. So...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, it's yet to be proven whether he can, you know, make it 12 races in the 450 class. on, you know, riding that edge that he's on.
Mm-hmm.
So I 100% expect him to come out and be top five in lap times and be fast enough to be on the podium. After that, anybody's guess. His track record is, just like I said, it's very unpredictable. And, mm-hmm. you know, the guy's such a nice guy, you can't help but, you know, hope for the best for him. It's just, you know, it's tough. It's tough to go that pace. I've never been able to go that pace, let alone go that pace for an entire season. So, who knows?
So you're saying he can win, JT. He could win. Not the title, but he could win a race.
He's fast enough to win. You look at when he was healthy. The last time he was healthy and ready to go was when he was on a white bike against Phil Poto.
Uh-huh.
And those results speak for themselves. So, you know, I'm sure he knows that, and I'm sure if he's 100% confident he gets a good start, you know, he's going for the win. There's no doubt about it. He's won on every size bike. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, he knows what time it is.
Right, right.
Wow, okay. Big BT fans I have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if Townley wins races, I don't think anyone should be shocked.
He took 2 years off, and he's on a privateer bike. I'm shocked.
I guess JT can speak on that better than I can, but I'm not sure how much of the bike is really going to be a disadvantage in this day and age. I don't know if that's
It's enough. It's probably 10 pounds heavier than Reedy's bike.
Yeah, but Reedy's bike is 17 pounds heavier than Ramon's bike or something,
right?
Darn. They have lead in the frame?
Do you think Will Hahn's bike was at a big disadvantage in Supercross this year?
No.
Well, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, so what would make you think that Townley's bike will be at a big disadvantage?
I didn't say the word big. I said disadvantage.
Okay, on that same note, do you think that Honda, him being a former factory Honda rider, and then them not having a standout favorite to win the title, do you think that Honda would be opposed to helping him if he comes out and shows that he's capable of winning?
No, as a matter of fact, Pingree's told me. They've said if he's in it and he's doing well, the help will be coming.
Exactly. So there's your disadvantage right there. Gone.
Whatever. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the bike's factor. I don't think, last year Han was on.
Everybody's on this freaking Ben Townley bandwagon, and I like the guy and all that, but I'm just not on board yet. I'm just 2 years off, man. And the guy, literally, I guess you know what? I'm taking some of my hostility out on you guys, from the pro circuit guys who couldn't shut up about him. The guy took 2 years off, and on top of that, we have no idea if he's fast on a 450. We think he is. He's got some track record. But in America, the last time we saw him, he was going 5.6 at Glen Helen with a jacked-up shoulder or something. So I just don't think it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great story. Let's see if he does it. But let's hold off on that bandwagon a little bit.
Well, I'm not on the bandwagon.
Oh,
I
you
said
are.
He's capable
oh, no, no,
of running
you are.
Up front.
You're both on the bandwagon.
I didn't say he's anywhere near the favorite to win the title.
I'm calling Chad Reed.
Very clear on that.
As soon as I hang up, I'm calling Chad Reed.
Well, I mean, we're going to get into that part too, but I want to be on the record as stating that I don't think he's going to win the title. I just said he's capable of
just
it.
Both
he's
of you.
He's capable of it.
Both of you are driving that Ben Townley float right down.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I said he's capable of it. Just because someone's capable doesn't mean that they're the favorite. There's a lot of guys that aren't capable. He is one that has the talent to make it happen. Whether he will ever in his lifetime make it happen is a totally different story. So,
Yeah, I think if you were to put bets on Grant, Reed, Dungey, for example, being up there in motos, you'd be 1-to-1 odds. And it'd be like, wow, what a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Townley is definitely not at that level. Townley is definitely a bit of a mystery, a bit unsure. But at the same time, I don't think we should be shocked if he actually is running there. I don't think you can take it to the bank like you can. You pretty much know Dungey's going to be good. I can guarantee that. But I don't. Steve, you're saying you would really be surprised if Townley runs up front this year.
I don't
think that's that much of a surprise.
I would be surprised if he ran up front all season, yes.
Okay. You might be right about that. Obviously, the track record and injury is pretty bad.
Okay, so Chad Reed, JT, your buddy, Chad Reed, mediocre Supercross season. Told me he's over Supercross, can't wait for the outdoors, which is another amazing statement. But can he really flick a switch and just turn it on? I mean, is he going to win?
Flick a switch as in when he almost won Vegas, or not almost won, but was the only person that really kept Dungy in sight of Vegas?
Would
you say that the switch has already been, like, the lights are warming up, like at a Supercross stadium?
You can't even...
Like, they're on, yet, but why, it's not okay. Fully bright yet. You kind of have some popping on, and it's why getting yet? Whiter.
Why yet? Can Chad, can he just flick a switch and come on and win this thing?
Yeah, I think he can. I think he can. I think it's all up to him.
This is a handy thing. It's all up to him.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm not going to – well, here's the difference, though, between Hanny and Reed. Whereas Hanny has a mythical reputation.
Hold on a second. We're going with a multi-time outdoor and supercross champion to – we're comparing them outdoors to Josh Hansen is what
that's
basically what
you're
going to
say. Where Hanny has this mythical – he could be fast if he wanted to, but we've never actually seen it. Reed actually has the track record of actually being fast actually winning races and titles.
JT,
that's the huge difference.
Wygan and I laugh because, like, with Hansen, everybody's just like, he just has to want it. He can win. He just has to want it. He hasn't ever wanted it, you know? And I think Wygan and I's point is, like, why wouldn't he want it? He's just not that fast, you know? Like, he tries, of course. And, you know, a mechanic told me after he won Salt Lake on the plane back, you know why he won, Mathis? I'm like, no. And the guy's like, because he wanted to. And I guess it's just that easy. So we just kind of talked about that.
I don't know about that. Hanny's a bad dude on a motorcycle. Trust me on that. That guy can put together sections and track and lay down some serious lap times. Basically, like they said, when he wants to. But winning's not always, you know, winning the race isn't always that easy.
Right.
See, I'm telling you right now, don't knock Josh Hansen's skills on a motorcycle. Don't, because that guy is talented.
No one's knocking
talented,
his skills.
Talented.
Calm down. No one's knocking his skills on a motorcycle. We said the perception is, and we've already spent too much time talking about a guy who's not racing, unless there's an injury. Can Reed turn it around? Can you win the title, JT?
Turn it around. We got to get off this. Turn it around, because
I mean,
he got second. Listen, he hasn't practiced Supercross. Like, it's been ghost town. It's been me and a water truck on the Supercross track for 6 weeks or longer. And I've been begging him, come on, dude, let's ride Supercross today. Ride with me today. And it's always, no, I'm riding outdoors. I have nothing to gain in Supercross. I'm riding outdoors.
Whatever.
Okay. So I'm out there doing laps on Supercross, and I see him out there riding outdoors. So there's no doubt where his focus is and where it has been.
Can't even talk to you about that.
Why? Why can't you talk to me? I'm trying to prove a point as to, yes, his 100% focus and has been on outdoors, and I think he is very capable.
So,
especially
in your mind,
being the reigning champion out of winning.
In your mind, it's either him or Dungy as favorites, or do you put him as a favorite over Dungy even?
I think over a 12-race series, I think those two are
easily the favorites. Okay.
Yeah, easily.
And
over 12 races.
Right.
I would put Josh Grant in there, but I don't know. Josh Grant's going to have, I think, some up and down stuff a little bit maybe.
And Wygant, do you agree?
Yeah, and trying to pick a winner out of those two, it's going to be close, man. It's going to be close because they've both proven that they can go the distance,
for sure.
Proved it as recently as last year.
So Reed flips the switch, and that's it. I'm just kidding, JT. Calm down.
I'm gonna take your side a little bit here, Steve. Like, you got to be honest, JT. It was a terrible Supercross season by Reed's standards. You know, I'm not saying that he can't come back, but it still was a pretty bad.
JT's hanging on to that. That second at Vegas, like it's the last lifeat on Titanic. Like, that's his
No.
He's just grabbing
I know that, like, I know so much behind-the-scenes stuff. I know where the focus was and, you know, where he wanted to be. And for him to come out and be that competitive at Vegas for the amount of work that was put in for him to be second at Vegas, I think people would be shocked because, you know, his mind was either at home with his kid and Ellie, or at Hangtown. It was definitely not, you know, being ready for Vegas. You know, his best friend had just passed away. He had, you know, really no motivation other than obligation to his fans and sponsors to come out and try to kill it at Vegas.
You're not his best friend, JT?
I mean, we're super tight, but, you know, obviously him and Andrew have known each other way longer than me and Chad.
Dissension in the ranks. Well, I guess. Oh.
You know, I think here's the – JT could probably answer this. I think the only question there is on Reed. Obviously, he can ride. He's on a good team. I guess the only question that you hear are people saying, oh, he's been through too much now. You know what I mean? He's got money, and he's worried about the safety of the tracks, and he just had a kid, and his friend, he just lost his friend. You know, where's his motivation? He's already planning on racing cars and all that stuff. And, you know, we've heard Chad's actually been here, I think, 9 years in the United States, and he's pretty much been up there every time. So, obviously, it's not the first time people have said, ah, he's had too much money, he's done, and then he's actually come back and won again. So he's proven he can do it. But I guess the real question is, and maybe JT knows this better than anybody, is he over it, or is he really focused? And it sounds like he's focused just like he always has been, right? Maybe just not on Supercross.
I think he's focused very much on outdoors. I don't think he's been focused on Supercross since Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, even when he was hurt, before he was even riding again, like, you know, a week after Phoenix, he was already thinking about outdoors because he knew he still had a chance to win a championship. You know, the Supercross was done. He had a horrible first race and second race. Then he's, you know, then I have to have surgery on my thumb or whatever. You know, that was all, Supercross was over for him at that point. You know, he still needed to race and do things for Thor, Monster, and Cowie. But as far as him looking forward and being motivated about something, Supercross was out. He knew even when he came back, he wasn't going to be ready with months and months of preparation. So, you know, for him looking at it, I can come back, I can try to do well in Supercross, but I can really prepare myself for outdoors and give myself a real shot at this thing. I think that's been in the back of his mind.
Can I make a bold statement right now?
You always do.
This will be the last year you see Chad Reed in America. This is it.
Wow.
That's wrong.
We'll see, won't we?
That's wrong.
But you can't say that's wrong.
Yeah, I can.
No,
I just did.
No, yeah, you can't. But you don't know.
I do know.
That's my prediction. That's my prediction.
Well, you're
going
out
on top?
I don't know if he's going to go out on top. He might go on top as like 1A to Dungey's 1. I mean, but I don't know. Let's move on. We've all established our feelings there.
So you're saying that Chad Reed will be a full-time resident of Australia January 1st, 2011.
I don't know where he's going to live or what he's going to do.
You
I'm
just said
really
this
sure.
is the last year you will see him in America.
Oh, okay. Racing motorcycles in America. That's what I meant.
Okay, well.
You're not saying I'm wrong, am I?
I mean, that's a different statement.
Oh, hey, I could be onto something, Wygant.
I don't know. I don't know what his deals are. I'm not his agent.
I don't know either, but I'm just going. I mean, so
I think that's the whole crux of the issue here. There are so many people that have, I've heard Reed's done here, he's over this, he's over that, maybe he doesn't want to hang out there anymore. You just hear so much stuff. So to hate to borrow the Hannay analogy, but it truly is all up to him. Obviously, if the guy is going for it, he's a great rider and he can win. But I just hear all these people saying, it's not just, Steve, I'm sure you're not just making this up. Like, you're going by other stuff that you've heard, right?
Well, yeah.
It's not you woke up in the middle of the night and said, Chad's going to retire.
No.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's legit. I don't know if these concerns are actually going to manifest themselves when we go racing. He might just be fine.
I hope he doesn't. I like the dip.
Yeah.
I'll take that bet. I'd say he's 100%. Unless he's injured or something.
All right.
He will be on the line at Anaheim 2011. I'll take that bet. Guaranteed.
All right. I don't know what we're betting, but hey, we've established those two guys. You two have established those two guys as 1 and 1A as winning the title, Ryan Dungey or Chad Reed. Did you forget about somebody? Did you guys skip over somebody?
Barry?
No, unfortunately. Let me just... Here, hold on a second. There, I just signed my head in the drawer. The guy who was dominating the series last year until he got hurt, until an unfortunate practice incident. What about Michael Lessie? Can he win?
Oh, yes.
He's not going to win?
The crux of the whole...
I forgot about the whole podcast.
JT, I forgot about him. So, can he not win, JT?
He can win. I haven't seen him ride that KTM at all. Is he definitely 100% racing a bike with 350 cc's? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, I can. I can.
100% that bike has 350 cc's in it, guaranteed.
Yeah, because I just found out the rule the other day, because my theory is that, yeah, it can be anything you want it to be, up to 450. But when you homologate something, you have to keep the same bore and stroke.
Okay, then I don't think he can win the title.
Wow. So it's got to be a 350.
Yeah, I don't think he can get starts consistently enough, minus 100 cc's.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, Michael Essie's probably the greatest starter in the history of the sport. And I say probably because I don't want to offend anyone. I would say he is mm-hmm. the greatest starter in the history of the sport. But I don't know. Giving up 100 cc's on every start, you know, some of the starts are super deep, you know.
Yeah, the bike's light, though. Bike's lighter.
How much lighter? I mean,
I don't know.
These other guys are good starters, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Caroli? Caroli's been starting fine.
I mean, it's his bike, 350 cc's, guaranteed. Like, you know for a fact. I mean, it's free-for-all over there.
Right.
True.
Hey, JT, okay, you're the only one. Everyone has these theories. I remember at the U.S. Open, they let 250s race 450s, and then a bunch of us are bench racing. None of us who have ever actually raced on a supercross track.
I
think 250s, the way they hook up, they're a little bit lighter, they could probably get starts. Let's actually ask someone who's raced. JT, on the start at a national on a 450, are you using everything the bike's got and wishing, man, I wish I had a little more right now because I could even get better starts if I had a 500 just for the start?
On the start,
yeah.
It's kind of a slippery slope because it's really tough sometimes. Like, I've had the fastest bike I've ever had, and sometimes it was tough to keep it under control out of the gate.
Yep.
Just with so much power, you kind of get erratic a little bit, and you don't, like Alessi, that's one of his... The reason he's such a great starter is he's so smooth coming across the gate that he doesn't waste any forward energy. Everything is smooth and forward, and then, you know, he kind of starts on the outside away from everybody, and then he's just gone. I had a tough time keeping my bike under control. But having said that, once you get 5 feet out of the gate, you wish you were on a ninja. You know, you want a Hayabusa, anything, because every bit of power is being laid down. And it really becomes a drag race at that point. And, yes, you definitely wish you had more power, 100%. And I think that Michael Essie might run into that. If he's on a true 350, I think if he doesn't get the jump on everybody, I think he's going to be frustrated at times that, you know, the guys can make up half a bike length or whatever on a deep start or an uphill start or anything like that.
So he can't win, JT. I mean, or he's not gonna win.
I don't, man. I think on the bike he had last year, yes, I think he's capable of winning. I think Michael Essie as a person, as a rider, is capable of winning races, period. I just don't know. I don't know about that bike. It's a first year bike. 350's never been raced before in a U.S. National Series. I don't know, man. There's a lot of question marks to take on. You know, Chad has a great bike. Dungy has a great bike. Josh Grant has a great bike, I would imagine. I don't know. That's a lot to go up against, you know. Maybe he's going to come out and prove me wrong and crush everybody. But I think giving up 100 cc's, even though you're in a 250F chassis and your bike's super light, is a lot over 24 motos.
I'm sure if you did a power-to-weight... I mean, how much lighter is the bike going to be, 10 or 15 pounds?
I don't know. Tony's probably got it all figured out.
Yeah, Tony's got it all figured out. I know it's probably not nearly as light as Ramon's bike over in Europe, but still. Yeah, it's a little bit lighter, but it's a lot less displacement. I mean, you're talking like 2% lighter, and what is that, 20% less displacement or something like that? And the other problem is, it'd be one thing if it was just a 350. But as JT kind of said, it's a completely new bike. It has a linkage, which KTM hasn't had on one of their bikes since, what, like 1991 or something like that? And, yes, Caroli's been racing in Europe, but that's a works bike. Yeah, Mike's the only one that's been on that's going to be racing this production bike. And
he, whatever the heck was going on in Europe, he didn't get all the testing time he wanted to get in. Supposedly he was kind of hurt, hasn't raced any Supercross coming in. They don't let him keep bikes at his house for some unknown reason. That's a lot stacked up against a guy to develop a completely different motorcycle of any kind that no one's ever seen before. The manufacturer themselves haven't really worked with this before, and he's expected to be on it and in title contention right off the get-go. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It took him on a 450, which KTM already had for a few years. It took him half the season in 07 with that magic shock to get going. And that wasn't nearly as radical as what he's dealing with now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to follow up on it, my main thing with the starts is Michael Effey on the starts. Every time I've watched him do it his whole career, he goes, you know, he always has a great gate pick. He goes outside of where anybody would normally go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He goes out there by himself. He's usually around, you know, less caliber guys than he's going to be racing against on the track.
Like you?
Yeah, exactly. he's going, well, I'm just saying not as a slight to anyone, but he goes out there where he's starting against maybe the guy that qualified 20th
right.
instead of the guy that qualified
second. So he's
going to
get the jump on him.
Yeah, he usually gets the jump. He's very smooth out of the gate. Like, if you break down his starts in slow motion, his finger motion on the clutch is amazing. Like, he doesn't double clutch. He doesn't do anything. It's just one motion straight out of the gate. And he gets a good jump on everyone around him. Then he always has a faster bike than everyone around him because he's all, you know, he's on great equipment always.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just, you know, he uses that to his advantage. He doesn't get caught up in that rat race of the top 10 to 15 guys all lining up, bam, 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 you know, next to each other. And I used to try to tell Timmy that all the time. I'm like, you're getting crappy starts. You're starting 25th every time where you're going now. You're, you know, you have third gate pick or whatever. Why don't you go outside and, you know, try to just come out smooth and use your bike to an advantage. You're going to yard everyone, you know, 10 feet out of the gate. You're going to pull everybody. You know, it can't get much worse than you're doing now, so why don't you give it a shot? And Michael Effey has that perfected. If you watch him every time, and I don't know that if that's going to change this year with the 350, but he goes out there by himself, and he comes sweeping in around everybody every single time. So that's, I just don't know if that same formula that he's been using his whole career is going to work on a slower bike. So that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, and we did start out there with the three-digit guys and stuff. It still didn't work for Timmy. It still didn't work. But that's a good theory for sure. And so what about Josh Grant hasn't raced all year, just like Michael Effey. Is he going to immediately run the pace? He loves the California tracks for sure. Wygant, where do you see Grant fitting in all year? Is he winning motos and winning races?
Yeah, it's kind of like I said about Barcia at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think Grant is has so much confidence in himself all the time that I don't think you have to worry as much about him having not raced Supercross. I think when Grant's healthy, anytime he goes to the gate, anytime, any place, anywhere, he thinks that he can whip everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So going into the first race of the year, having not raced at all, I don't think that's a big issue for him as it would be some other guys who are, maybe I'll just try to get top five and build. And obviously the guy's super fast. I mean, he looked awesome on a 450 last year. I'd say that, I don't know if he was the fastest guy, but he looked, to me, the best. There were some races, say, at Millville when he was battling Chad. He just did some stuff where you're just saying, man, that's impressive.
Right.
450 seems to work for him. I know it's a different bike this year, but that team has things, you would think, pretty well in check. They proved it with him last year. So I expect him to be right in there. Unfortunately, with Grant, you're always worried about the big crash.
Mm-hmm.
And it did happen last year eventually, although I guess that technically wasn't his fault at X Games. But he was already almost out of the championship chase at that point, had two or three bad motos.
Hit a truck in Mount Morris.
Yeah, just crazy stuff like that, man. So he needs to – he could have 21 good motos this year, but will he have 24?
Right.
That's always the question.
JT, in your mind, as another racer, I know in my mind, Josh Grant's one of the most talented guys out there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
there's no doubt about that.
I mean, is he handy?
That guy
is he handy?
Loads of talent.
Is he handy talent?
Yeah, I think they're very similar. I think Josh Grant – has been more focused than Hanny over their career.
Yeah,
but
that's putting it lightly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Josh Grant is obviously, he's lost focus too, I think, at times, just from what I've seen, and I've seen quite a bit. But I think Josh Grant is going to be strong. I think it's a big bonus for him to start at Hangtown because he's great at Hangtown. You know, if you look at maybe some of the motos, he hasn't finished them, but if you look at where he's run in his motos, historically at Hangtown, he's fast there. Right. He gets good starts of that track, and he's really confident of that track. So I think it's a great first race for him coming off of injury and not having raced all year. So I look for him to be really fast, especially at the first race.
Right, right. And then is Andrew Short, Wygant, just going to be Andrew Short? Is he going to be third, second, fourth, third, second?
Yeah, I mean, I think Andrew's he's like the only racer I know that continually admits, oh, I'm just trying to get more speed. I'm trying to get more speed. Everybody else, amazingly, even though you can watch and see one guy going faster than another, everyone just says starts and all this other
stuff. I've got the speed. I just got to get the starts.
Everybody has the speed.
Right, right. Except for Andrew Short.
I'm just saying he's the only guy that's just admitting, like, I'm trying to get faster. That's the difference. You know, it is tempting to just say, oh, he's always fourth and fifth and third. That's the way it's always going to be. But there was a time last year, you know, at Redbud, I think Chad was having kind of a bad weekend there. And for most of the first moto, it looked like Short was finally going to get that win. And then he kind of went backwards, and we kind of learned that he had been sick and he hadn't been able to train and ride. So there was a flash there where I thought he could finally be making that breakthrough. I know he's going to try.
Right.
But I don't know. Again, it's just that natural speed thing, which – I'm only going to say that because he says it himself, so that's why I'm not throwing him under the bus.
He actually probably is one guy that will listen to this, so good job.
I know.
he was fastest guy at Comp Edge the other day over everybody, just throwing that out there.
He had the competitive edge.
Yeah.
Was
it Comp Edge? I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. I have to admit this. There were times in the lights class where he was – as fast as anybody. I mean, he had a couple of days there. He went 1-1 at Millville, I remember, one year where he just pretty much blew everybody away. So he's got it inside him somewhere.
Somewhere. He would have won Lakewood if the ghosts of Bob Hanna hadn't got into Ivan Tedesco that day, you know?
Yeah, and a couple years ago in a light spike at the Colorado, he could have won, and his bike blew up on, like, the fourth lap when he was in the lead. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
It's in there. He's had it.
A couple of Twitter questions. A guy asked me, what's the best track for spectating close to Southern Ontario? I think I'll take this one. And he's been to Unadilla and Steel City. I would tell this dude, if you haven't been to Redbud, you're high or drunk, and you live in Southern Ontario. JT, what happened to Izzy this season? He fell off the top hard.
Yeah, I mean, his heel is obviously still not good. You look at all the problems that Red Dog had, and Nico had a similar injury. You know, it's exactly the same, but it's similar. I think, you know, just I rode with Nico a little bit, and, you know, I know he was working really hard, and I just think every time he kind of got ahead, then he would re-injure it, and it would, you know, bug him. And, I just don't think he was ever able to really get back to where he was. You know, I think his heel just kept him back. You know, it's tough to get to that that razor edge of speed when you're not able to, you know, train and perform the way you're used to doing it your whole life.
Could he be a sleeper in the 250 class?
I think he'll do well. I don't think he's going to win. I don't know. It's really tough to say. If he gets good starts, I think he can run up front.
Yeah.
I think his confidence has got to be, you know, a little bit shaken. You know, I know he still believes in himself, but having taken that much time off and then not having a great Supercross season, you know, anybody's going to be questioning themselves. But I don't know.
That was Luke Nessler 107 who asked that, and Wygant Rick the Rocket wants to know who will be the breakout privateer of the year and start punching above their weight with the big boys. So that'd be 450 class privateer of the year.
I know I did very little preparation for the show, but I was thinking of that question because it was a stumper for us last year. I don't know how you define privateer. Like, is a rock star candidate Suzuki guy privateer like Han was last year?
I think they are, but they're not. You know,
right?
What I mean? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how they're defined. Like, I could see someone like Blake Baggett having a great season in a live class, kind of like what JT said. If things roll his way, if he gets starts and gets confidence going, I think he's really fast. So he could be that guy if you consider that a privateer.
Right.
I don't know if we're going to see a Gavin Graysick-esque.
Yeah, I think that's what me when you're saying privateer. That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah. Man, I don't know if I can answer that. I don't even know if anyone remembered that Gavin Graysick was still racing before the season that he did so well. So you don't even know who's even going to show up.
Sean Hamlin.
He's been that guy in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be. Okay. He's done it 3 or 4 times. I think he's been that guy.
Okay. All right.
Let me answer that one.
Yeah.
All right.
I think, and being on a privateer team that's competitive with them, it's, you know, obviously don't want to pump them up too much, but I think that Moto Concepts is going to be strong. I think for a privateer team, they're going to be really strong. You look at, they have Sipes on a 450, Chisholm on a 450, and Gerke on a 450, and I think all three of those guys are going to be top 10 a lot. Uh-huh. I think those guys are going to be really good outdoors, and that's just me gambling and going off of what I know, but I look for them to be the privateer team outdoors by far.
Right. That's good. That's a good one. Yeah, my sleeper picks, well, we can get to the sleeper picks here in a little bit, but my sleeper picks involve one of the dudes from Moto Concepts. So, what, JT, I just got a question from a guy named Ryan Olander, and he said that... he went to Paula to go watch Rhino. Imagine that. Guy named Ryan Olander. He said Reed was out on the track hitting a big triple that he had been doing all day. He came up short, landing on the backside of the last hump. He immediately grabbed his wrist. He then proceeded to the hauler, shaking both hands. Not good a couple days before Hangtown. Any updates? Anything you know?
About Chad?
Yeah, Chad Reed.
No, he hadn't said anything to me about it. I talked to him. He was... done riding. He was on his way to go, you know, meet Ellie and Tate had just flown out there, and he didn't express anything to me about it. So
okay,
he's in Sacramento right now for press day. He flew up there last night, so I think he's all good.
Okay, all right. What about Millsaps? Can he? He's riding for a ride. He basically admitted that in an interview. What do you guys think? Can Millsaps pull it together? He did win a moto last year, Butts Creek.
It's like the same old story with Millsaps every year. Everyone's going to – he has the speed, right?
He has the speed.
If he wants it, he can win, right?
Yeah, if he wants it and he has the speed.
you know, I thought – well, for one thing, I will say that it appears that the Honda guys got their bikes sorted a whole lot better this year than they did last year. It didn't seem to affect Short that much, but Millsaps and Wyndham were much better in Supercross this year than they were last year. So that might help. I was kind of disappointed with Millsaps last year, even at Glen Helen, for example. He had pretty good starts. He was in there, and they kind of rolled through him. Then he got hurt at Hangtown and did win that moto at Budge Creek, which was kind of a sign of what he could do. But Millsaps just beat up a lot, man. I feel like, you know, they say with Kobe Bryant where he's 32 but, you know, has the mileage of a 38-year-old on him
because
he didn't play college. I kind of feel like Millsaps is like that. He's 22 or 23, right?
Right.
But I feel like he's got a lot of mileage on him. He's just raced a lot. He's had a lot of nagging injuries. You almost forget because it's not epic injuries, crashes, and comebacks. It's more he's almost riding hurt all the time.
Right.
So that's going to be tough. I mean, I know he has the speed, and I know he has the talent.
He just got to want it. What do you think, JT?
I think, man, maybe he's going to be fast at times, just like he has been every year. You know, he's probably good for a moto win at some point and some podiums, but I don't know. You know, I think if anybody had the answer as to how to take Davey from the caliber guy he's at, which is, you know, elite level to multi-race winner a season and champion, then, you know, that guy would be running it. Factory team,
right?
You know, a lot of people have had shots at it, so
good point.
I don't know, man. I probably see more of the same.
Fifth, sixes.
Yeah, just, yeah, you know, put in sometimes, right, maybe hole shot and pull off one here or there, but,
yeah,
you know, top five guy, top six guy most of the time.
What about Langston? Where do you see Langston finishing? Right around there?
Man, it's tough. I think Langston's going to have some really good days and really bad days.
Uh-huh.
I think if he can survive the really bad days,
mm-hmm,
and not, well, not, you know, not,
yeah,
literally
no,
survive, but,
yeah, we got you,
you know, continue the season through his really bad days, and I think he'll be good. I don't think there's many guys out there with more desire and you know, heart than GL, because I don't think he's one of the really naturally talented guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just kind of bulldogs through it, and, you know, I think that will and determination gets him in trouble sometimes, because he kind of outrides his talent level and, you know, puts it on the edge so much that it bites him every once in a while.
Okay, give me JT, your best place that Grant Langston could finish a national this year.
Like, overall?
Yeah, like the best he's going to do. If everything comes,
I think
together,
the best overall he could do is first.
Really?
I think he could win a national, yeah.
You're high. Weech.
Why?
What do you think? Weech.
Yeah, but it's Langston. Why? I kind of feel it's the same way as Townley. If he did win.
I'm going to hang up on both of you guys. That's ridiculous.
How did he do the last time he raced a national?
Podium is realistic. How about that? I'll say he got 1 point. Or 2 points. I could see him getting a podium or two, and people are pumped. And,
right.
All right, that's cool to see him back up there. All the way back to where he was in 07, I don't know if I'm going to say that much.
Right.
I didn't say he could win the championship.
No. I don't think he can win a race. I do not think he can beat winner. I don't think he can beat Josh Grant, Ryan Dungey, Chad Reed, and Mike Alessi to win a race. No, I do not.
You don't
think
he can beat those four guys
no.
in one weekend? You don't
no.
think he's
no.
capable of doing it?
No. No.
Really?
I disagree.
No.
I disagree.
I mean, I love GL. He's a good dude. We could have him on here. He would talk for an hour about it. But
I disagree. I think outdoors, he's capable of it. I think he's proven. I don't know how much more he could do to prove it. I don't know how many more titles and race wins he needs to prove that to you. But what? I don't even need to say he's capable of it. History says he's capable of it.
He's taken.
And if you want to argue with history...
Go here on
You
ahead.
Be my guest.
he's taking too much time off. He's missed too many races. And
he raced three months ago.
I do agree that if the stars all aligned, he could make a podium. Second or third, you know, something like that.
But you know, you realize that Matt Gerke won a race last year, right?
Yeah.
I do. But...
So you're saying that GL is incapable. incapable this year of matching Matt Gerke. That's basically what you're saying.
Gerke's
he is incapable.
Phenomenal.
Of doing
is phenomenal.
What Matt Gerke can do.
Yes, Gerke is phenomenal. He cannot do what Matt Gerke can do.
Wow. I'm going to need that in writing because I want to put it on a billboard.
Well, I mean. Yeah, you know, hey, let's.
That's the one thing that makes it so tough to do these preview shows.
I know.
We always do the preview show under the assumption
everybody's,
that each one of these riders will be there every week, and they never are.
I know. You're right.
That is what makes it tough. No way anyone was thinking Matt Gerke, as phenomenal as he is, was going to win Southwick when we did this show before Glen Helen last year. But we didn't know that Alessi was going to be out, and Stewart definitely wasn't racing, and Villopoto was out, and all. I mean,
Josh
eventually all these
out,
dudes were out, and then Reed was in the lead, and then crashed, and then it's like, well,
right.
It was going to be either Gerke or John Dowd winning.
Or Burner. Don't forget Burner tied.
And Burner, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, Burner, you might have thought at the beginning of the year, if he got rolling after injuries, could win. Gerke and Dowd weren't even on the list at the beginning of the season, but by Southwick, it was like, well.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess it's Michael Byrne.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even at the Steel City, Brayton won a moto.
Yeah.
He won the last moto of the year. He has a win streak. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to keep that going. But the stars might have to. Would Langston straight up beat Reed and Alessi and Dungey and Grant straight up, both motos just beat him? I don't know. But are those guys going to be running 1, 2, 3, 4
you
in
don't
every
know?
Single moto all year?
You don't
Probably
know
not.
Or no? Just say no. It's okay, Weed. You can say no. Don't go be like JT and just straddle the fence.
No, I think he can win, but he doesn't have to beat those four guys straight up to do it.
Right.
So that's why
right.
I think he's capable of doing it.
Right.
Do I think?
Yeah, exactly. We're not racing in
now?
A vacuum. You know, this this series isn't going to happen in a vacuum where everybody's super pumped to be there and everybody's 100%.
Right.
I mean, that's not how it goes. Saying GL can't win. I'm saying he definitely can because outdoor motocross has proven that anything can happen, period.
Let's ask one of the up-and-coming rising superstars of a sport that same question. Adam Cian Cirillo. Let's bring him on.
All right.
Do you know him at all, JT?
Yeah, a little bit. Not a lot, but obviously we're both Florida guys.
Hello?
Adam Cian Cirillo?
Hello, Steve Mathis.
What's up, man? You're on the podcast, the outdoor podcast with Jason Thomas, who in a few years, when you're winning main events, he's going to be in 10th, and Jason Wygant.
That's great. We're live. We're live right now.
Well, we're not live. No, I'm recording, but we're not live. Nobody's listening to it.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes me feel better.
Hey, do you know Jason Wygant at all?
I've seen him a couple times around.
Yeah.
Hey, we're at Loretta one week a year. We work together at Loretta's.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Jason Thomas, fellow Floridian, he's on the line too. Hey,
Dade City champion.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not yet.
Michael Piccone.
Second to Michael Piccone, the champ.
Getting beat down. I'm not even second to Michael Piccone. I'm like 23rd to anybody you can name.
Cian Cirillo, we want to get your opinion on the Nationals coming up. Now, you're going to be racing against these guys in a few years, but who do you see? Let me ask you this. Can Grant Langston win?
I think Grant Langston can win.
Oh, God. Jesus.
I think he's got the speed. I've seen him ride a couple.
Uh-huh.
I was out in California for a while. I saw him. I was seeing him ride, and I thought he looked really good.
Yeah?
I think he could definitely be podium for sure.
Wow. Okay. Who's your top three in the 250 class?
250 class. Weimer. I know Weimer is mentally better than he's ever been.
Uh-huh.
After winning that Vegas, so I think he'll be right around first or second. You know, Purcell will be up there all the time. Third, I mean, Barsha. Barsha, I think, will win races. Stroop, once he comes back, I think he'll win a few.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty wide open for, really, 250s. I mean, you know Purcell's going to be up there pretty much all the time. But other than that, it's just kind of a...
Yeah, we think Kennard might be in there, too, obviously. You know?
Yeah, Kennard will be there.
Hey, what's this? You're talking mad crap to Weimer on Twitter about racing him on a Super Mini?
Oh, yeah. Well, it all started out. He went to Glen Helen, and I was actually went with Bones. I wasn't riding, didn't have my bike yet, just to do lap times on Weimer at Comp Edge.
Uh-huh.
He ran maybe like it was like 203, 203, and then he did like two flats at Comp Edge.
Uh-huh.
And I took the pit board out there, and I wrote sandbagger on it because, I mean, he just completely sandbagged it, just tried to get the lap time.
Right.
So ever since then, it's just kind of been a thing where I just call him a sandbagger. And plus, when I call him a sandbagger on Twitter, I get like 600 followers overnight because, like, I guess like Jake Weimer's like famous or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try sandbagger.
Yeah. It's
How many followers you
good.
Got, JT?
What's that?
How many followers you have on Twitter?
I don't know, like 600 maybe. I only have like one overnight sandbagger episode worth of followers right now.
And Wygant, how many followers you got?
I'm way behind you, Steve. Don't worry. It's only 715 or something like that.
I
know you're worried.
I still feel the pressure to step it up. I'm gonna try the word sandbagger.
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that pressure will result in you making a mistake. insulting someone, and then everyone will de-follow you.
Right.
Push you into a mistake.
And what do you see, Cian Cirillo, about the 450s? We had a long discussion. Dungey, Reed, neither of these guys think Michael Lessi will win, and Josh Grant. What do you think about those four? Is that what you got?
Josh Grant, I think he's going to be hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, sitting on the sidelines the whole time, I think he'll definitely be up there. I still see Alessi being up near the front.
Can he win?
I don't know. I see. Can he win? We'll have to see. I'll tell you after I look at the lap time.
Wow, you've already got the whole guarded superstar aura where you don't want to go out on a limb and actually say anything that gets you in trouble. I like it.
I just don't know. I really don't know if
have you seen him
win
ride?
Or not.
Have
you seen I don't want to look stupid if I say he can win and then him go out there and be getting a gas card in the LCQ.
Easy, buddy. Easy. On the LCQ.
Some of us.
Well, listen, you win them, JT.
Yeah, sometimes.
King of the LCQ.
Yes. Well.
The lights LCQs are absolutely insane.
Yeah, they are. They are. Have you seen Alessi ride out there in Cali?
I haven't.
You haven't? Oh,
I
okay.
haven't.
Yeah. So you really have no idea, just like us. You're kind of just basing it.
No, nothing. Yeah, I'm just going off last year.
Uh-huh. And do you see Dungey and Reed as being the top two? Grant, can you go
ahead? I'm saying it's going to be those guys are going to be pretty even with Grant, I think, being like the sleeper. I think Grant will win some races. Like, I think it's just going to be swapped around the podium between those three.
Now, you know, Chad Reed didn't have a great Supercross season, as we all know. And JT's, who's his best friend in the world, says he's just gonna flick the switch and turn it on. Like, do you see Reed being affected by his, let's say, his subpar Supercross season?
Well, I've seen Ricky Carmichael sit on the sidelines for 2004 and come out and win every single moto of every race. So
right.
Leads me to believe that pretty much anything could happen. I think he'll be really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he'll win the championship, you never know. I mean, he's going to be fast. Obviously, he's Chad Reed, but, you know, anything can happen.
Right. Wow. Very well spoken. How will I get? Seen Cirillo's got it going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to call you the total package. You get all the skills. On and off the track.
And what about my guy Dean Wilson, Canadian? AC, what do you think?
Oh, man, I see like I'll put Weimer winning it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to make this up. I'll just go out on the limb and say Weimer. I'm calling first round Weimer with the win. Purcell somewhere in the top three. All of the pro circuit guys, Rattray, he's going really fast. I saw him ride at Glen Helen.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, all the pros. The Wilson, I say Wilson, Baggett, and, like, Barcia, I say they're, like, all, like, it's going to be just, like, the top three battle, and then it's just going to be, like, third through sixth is just going to be
right.
Just running into each other, whipping it in your face, holding it wide open in the air.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah. What do you think of that, JT?
Obviously, you know, like we said, Lights is going to be crazy. I think Weimer is on the podium. I don't know if he wins. I think Purcell is going to be really hard to beat. I don't know. I think he's pretty spot on. I think he was a little bit too politically correct about some of the stuff.
Oh, AC, but, too politically correct.
No, I'm just playing. No, I mean, with Chad, I think he's right. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people have question marks about Chad, including me. But we'll see.
I don't know.
I mean, I think he'll be strong. I think Dungey's solid. I mean, that guy's proven. I mean, how many? You know, he's won like every title,
mm-hmm.
three or four titles in a row or something.
Right.
So, how do you bet against that right now? It's just going to be tough. I think, like I said, I think Dungey and Chad are going to be the top two for sure.
Hey, AC, you wear Alpine Star gear, right?
Yes, I do.
So it must be tough for you because you're cheering for Michael Alessi. He's your gear teammate, but then you're a Team Green kid. You know, you're a pro circuit kid. So it's got to be tough for you.
Yeah, it is. Thor and the Alpine Star, I like them both, but, yeah. You know, Alpine Star, that's my thing now. But
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm going to have to see, like, I need somebody other Alpine Star. I know Filick, she's girls. I need Hurlings over here.
Oh, is Hurlings A-Star? I didn't even know that.
I need Hurlings 2011. need him over here. We need more help.
Yeah. And you can always cheer for Matt Rabeau to do the freestyle.
Exactly.
Hey, who do you look up to, Adam, as your as one of the pro riders that you know you'd like to be, or maybe are you maybe faster than some of them that you look up to?
No, not quite. I mean, I've obviously always looked up. I mean, there's just kind of it's different things about different riders, like. Uh-huh. McGrath, I just like the way McGrath is, just the way he goes about everything. It's just like so laid back, but like serious at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to get the job done. I like that about McGrath. Obviously, Stewart's speed. Oh man, if I had to take a total package.
Tim Ferry?
You are the total package.
Yeah.
You are the total package.
No, if I had to take the total package that I looked up to, I mean, light, I would have to say, I'm going to have to say Weimer.
Oh,
and then,
God, the love affair
and
continues.
450 is tough.
Yeah.
450 is tough because I don't talk to any of the 450 guys on Twitter.
That's what it all comes down to.
Twitter's my only source of conversation.
Is your head already physically larger than Weimer's? Because I know he has the smallest helmet with extra padding.
Yes.
The smallest helmet in the business.
Yes,
is your head already bigger than his?
Yes.
Wow. That's how small
my head's bigger than his with this hair.
So you've never talked to Reedy on Twitter because he's pretty JT. I'm surprised how much he's taken to that.
Yeah, he's only had it for like 2 weeks though. I mean, I built his Twitter on the computer I'm sitting on right now.
Okay, but he seems to answer fans even like sometimes.
I haven't talked to him at all. I just talked to Weimer.
What are the chances that Reed knows who Adam Cian Cirillo is, JT?
Yeah, he knows who he is.
He
for
does?
Sure.
Okay.
No question. Yeah.
Does Timmy know?
Come on, dude. He's ridden
with Timmy. I'm ridden with Timmy. Me and Timmy are tight.
I know. It's just, we make a joke about AC. We make a joke about Timmy kind of being clueless to other racers and riders because he really is. But he does know you because you rode at his track.
Yeah, but Adam has the RT connection, and Timmy and RT are tight. So
yeah, okay.
There's no doubt about that.
I have a photo of Timmy and Adam, you guys at a shooting range, which is at some Kawasaki thing, both holding.
Oh, yeah. Dealer show in Dallas.
Yeah.
You know what was crazy is I left that dealer show in Dallas, and like probably maybe 3 weeks after that, I heard of some guy shooting the same gun I shot, some kid shooting the same gun I shot, like it recoiling, like he's shooting it, he held it, like you're only supposed to do it in like 3-round bursts, held it. It came like, imagine you're holding the gun straight, it came, the muzzle came all the way around to his head and killed the kid. So that was comforting.
Whoa.
Right after I did that.
Yeah, really, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty, crazy.
Let me ask you this, JT. If AC hadn't ridden at Tim Ferry's house and didn't know Ron Tischner, would Timmy know who he was?
Yeah, he would.
Would?
I mean,
okay.
Adam's pretty big name, and especially obviously in amateur racing. He would know for sure.
Okay.
I mean, he may not know who got he may not have ever heard the guy who got like who gets 12th this weekend at Hangtown.
Yeah. But he's going to know. Yeah.
He definitely knows who Adam is.
All right. We need to play that game after Hangtown. We'll read him the results and see what place he has no idea who the guy is, how low we can go. We probably get around 12th or 13th, right?
Yeah.
I got the 40. I can do it.
You
I can do everyone.
Sure. Yeah, I have no doubt. Do you think Timmy knows who Jimmy Dakotas is?
Yeah, he does. Okay. He does. Yeah, good, because he's been watching Troy race.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he knows.
The
only reason he knows is because he watches, like, me and Troy battle back there with guys he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would never have a clue.
Right.
Never, ever.
If he was still racing, he wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, well, what you were talking about, I just want to touch on, like, you were talking about with Chad with the Twitter stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen someone have so much have so many other things going on around them that they have to, like, be distracted by.
Mm-hmm.
That I can understand he doesn't like Twitter with everybody because, dude, literally, like, when we're riding, like, it's, like, emails and phone calls and Callie calling him Thor. You know what I mean? It's, like, literally being bombarded. Right. All the stuff he's, like, other business deals and, like, his agent. And seriously, it's nonstop with that guy. Like, interviews and there's always someone at the house filming or taking pictures, or literally it's nonstop. Like, it's like, all right, we're riding, then when we come in, it's back to everything else, and then back on the bike. Like, it's nonstop. So he gets a little break.
But he does answer some fans. My point is that it's cool. He does. I've seen
it. For yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I think, you know, everyone around him, you know, Chad Reed marketing team, mm-hmm. obviously realizes that it's a great marketing tool to...
Are you part of that team? Because you set the Twitter account up. But you set the Twitter account up.
I did, but I'm not part of the team. I'm on Team 20. I'm on Team 2-2.
Whoa!
Like, as a fan. As a fan.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
You know, as a fan / training partner / friend.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not on, you know...
I'm on Team 9-2.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
See, and then when...
Hey,
what?
What's the deal with that? Do you have to wait till you're 18 to race pro now?
I think they're talking about changing it back.
I think they're really? Too. Why can't?
Because the Florida thing, the Florida law thing went back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Huh. It did.
That was the whole, that started this whole problem where they wouldn't let parents sign minor release forms, I guess, right?
Yeah, and that something happened and that's done. So
you're not going to
hopefully,
Europe.
Hopefully, you know, for me, that'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure. That's
I thought you and Hurlings might just switch. Like, he'd just come live in your house, and you could just live at his house.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to think that Hurlings is only 2 years older than me. I mean, that worries me right there.
How old are you, AC?
13.
So when are we going to see you? In 2014? 14. 16,
yeah,
if you're 16.
But Kevin Windham's last season. I'm going to bump up to 450s right away so I can, Alessi style, so I can race him.
Yeah, like I said, and JT will be there. He'll get 10th to 15th. Don't worry.
Be perfect.
Hey, dude, don't go to Europe. You don't want to live in Europe. I'm telling you right now.
I know. I don't.
It's not just talking about you switching places with Hurlings. Don't do it.
That was why I got.
I won't. I mean, I don't think I can live over there. Like, I don't know.
I don't either. I don't think you can live there either. I don't know how anyone does it.
Well, they have Xbox plugins and stuff. You'll be
fine.
That's
true. They do have Xbox.
This is...
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to play? Freaking...
Reflex.
You know, there's only... They don't make many games for Europe. It's like skiing or... that game where you ski and then you have to, like, shoot a sniper rifle and then you ski again.
Oh, the biathlon, yeah.
Biathlon.
Soccer,
yeah.
A bunch of soccer games.
Hey, Wygant, you've been to Loretta's every year. Where does obviously we have him on the phone, so you don't want to make him feel too bad or too good.
No.
Where does AC rank on the kids that you've seen come up? You've seen them all, or a lot of them in the last 10
actually,
years.
I feel bad actually. What happened last year at Loretta's, because the first couple motos, there were battles. Like, it was. I don't know if, Adam, you liked it, but there were awesome battles in the 80 classes. And then I found out, like, a month later, what happened? Your rear brake pedal was broken?
It was a thing. It was a weird deal. It was, like, the little edge, like, on my foot peg. Like I leaned it over, like, in a rut too far. Like, on, like, the second lap of each moto, we couldn't figure out what the deal. The foot peg would, like, get stuck up under my brake, so I would slip off the foot peg and... I wouldn't have any rear brakes, so I was just like, all right, let's you remember that off camber? You remember when I don't know if you remember, I kind of kind of slid off, like both feet came off.
Yeah, early in moto.
Yeah, I was just like salvaging anything I could possibly get.
Wow.
So the first couple motos, they were like battles, and then I was thinking, well, I don't know, these guys are really stepping it up. But then the last motos, dude, they were, like, epic. What did you go? You got a 6th, I think, in a moto and still wound up winning the title, like the craziest, wildest.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. My 6th, I went off the track, and I was winning, like, feeling good, like, out front, like, had a little lead on the first lap already, a couple corners in. I was feeling good. I was like, all right, I'm going to turn the week around right here.
Hey,
everything.
You were kind of like...
Come off a double completely sideways, jump... Probably miss a light pole, maybe by 3 inches. Land in mud. They scraped off the track. Come back on. The AMA said I passed too many people, so they docked me back to 6th. I got 3rd in the moto.
Mm.
Yep.
Came out last moto. Got. I was out front. I was had a good lead, and then I see these. I come around. I see these two bikes just locked up together, and I'm like, there's no way. I mean, I felt like I wanted to just pull off and let these guys do battle. But I was like, I don't know. That I know that that luck will never, ever, ever happen to me again. It can't.
Here's what I've seen from AC. Not since RC have I seen a guy more pumped when he wins and more pissed off.
Really?
When he doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Roll into the tent, when you roll into the impound tent at the end of Loretta's, that bike is going to be pegged. In neutral or clutch pulled in, that bike is pegged either in celebration or in
anger.
I got third and I'm really, really, really angry about it.
I mean, it's not even bad there. It's like when I get back to the motorhome and I shut the back of that trailer door, ooh, it gets a little bit. I can't stand it. I cannot stand it.
I've never really struggled with temper issues. I don't know what that's like.
JT's really happy no matter really where he finishes.
I'm telling you, it's the KX85 ringed out, sitting there just pinned, and you can still hear him screaming over the sound of the bike.
It's not like it's a reaction. It's not like, all right, I'm going to blow the bike up now. It's like I just want to release something anger, and I'm not allowed to like cuss or anything like that. So I just rev the thing.
When you're the
pro circuit motors, they last. They last doing it too.
That's durability testing.
And when you're out front and dominating, you must feel a lot like Michael Pacone at Dade City this past weekend.
I do. Yeah. I do. When you win by any type of gap, you pull a Michael Pacone.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, God.
he's dominant. Dominant.
Despite your crap talking right now, I will say that even like the bad motos you're having right now, and when you have to fight through guys and like look at it as learning, because you're gonna be glad that you had bad motos and had to battle with guys and figure out how to get, you know, back up through the pack, because when you get to the pros, it's, you know what I mean, like you're used to dominating all the time, like you're, you know, almost always the fastest guy every time you're on the track. But when you get to the next level, you're going to need experience that you're getting now. You're going to need to learn how to pass. You're going to need to learn how to come back from going off the track and crashing in the first turn, because that stuff's going to happen. So that would be the best advice I could give you right now, is even your worst motos, you know, I mean, you're like, as long as everything goes right, you know, you're going to keep progressing. You're going to get to the next level, and you're going to have, you know what I mean, the ride you need and everything to win. So if a moto goes bad and things don't go right, just look at it as, you know, all right, that's experience. I, you know, just learn from it.
Yeah, like what I learned from it.
Because even the bad motos I've had, and I have never been at the level that you're going to achieve one day, I can still look back and see how that helped me, you know what I mean? So don't let it bum you out too much, you know what I mean? Look at it as, I'm only 13, you know, I feel like I have the weight of the world on me to win right now, but you really don't, you know. The stuff that Kawasaki is investing in you and Pro Circuit's investing in you right now is to win championships at the next level. You know, it's great that you can win now, but they're putting money in you now to win 2 or 3 years from now. So
that's an excellent point, because really, like, in the grand scheme of things, when you're 16, 17, racing pro, what you did at Loretta's when you're 13 doesn't really matter. And Mike Alessi's career, you can look at that right now. I mean, you know, Mike Tony was on saying that, you know, Ryan Villopoto never, ever beat them when they were amateurs. Well,
no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
Who remembers it?
Yeah, so it's a good, excellent point. AC, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you.
And remember, like, journalists and the media, we're friendly. We're good guys. Remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have an open relationship like that. You can say stuff about me. I'm okay with that. I realize it's your job.
There we go.
Wow.
Wygant, huh?
Don't lose this. Don't lose this. We've lost many. We've had many come in like
I'll be talking to you on Twitter, Steve.
Right on. Yeah, no, sounds good. I'll be around. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thank you.
See ya. What do you guys think? Pretty well-spoken kid, huh?
That's unbelievable for 13. Unbelievable.
I don't think I was that way when I was 13.
No, I don't think I am.
You were 100 pounds heavier than him when you were 13.
What's that?
You were 100 pounds heavier than him when you were 13.
Wow, we've seen the video.
Yeah, you're still racing 80s, though. You were still racing 80s.
I was still racing 80s. I got a Twitter question from a CR22 who said that he wants JT's style and starting technique. So apparently he's got time to talk some crap on you. His wrist isn't that sore.
But, oh, God.
Okay, well, before we wrap this thing up, I want to talk about sleepers in the 450 class, and let's talk about AC for a second. Wygant, is he going to be the next big thing? No doubt.
Yeah, I didn't answer that question properly last time.
I don't know. I barely watch that stuff. I don't really know what goes on.
Yeah. So. No, he's absolutely... It's hard to measure who's better. Like, was he better than Alessi at that level? Because they basically just always win.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do any better than that?
Right.
But he's got it dialed. And the difference is, to me, I've seen him rally from way back or crash three times and still come back. When Alessi was dominating at that level, or even Stewart, I think, for the most part, they just killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen him get it done in a variety of situations. That kid's got ridiculous determination. If he can keep that fire burning, there's nothing that's going to stop him. He just has to want it, because he definitely has the speed.
JT, what do you know about him? Just ride?
I think obviously his talent level is amazing. I was watching him race a Cobra, or at Minio's years ago, and I was like, wow, this kid's going to be good.
Right.
But the biggest plus, I think, for him is, he's on the right program. He's got, Pro Circuit's 100% behind him, and I've heard from Pro Circuit themselves that they give him more support from Pro Circuit directly than any amateur has ever gotten in the history of Pro Circuit. So that's saying a lot. I mean, if they're, right. With Kawasaki, Monster, Pro Circuit, all these people kind of steering him
mm-hmm.
with the talent and ability and the work ethic and everything already there, I mean, barring something stupid, how is he going to go wrong,
Right.
Yeah, I don't think, except for maybe Stewart, I don't think there's been a more, this kid's going to get it. Even Carmichael had, he's kind of small, or Alessi, they're kind of weird. But except for maybe Stewart, I don't think there's ever been a more just pure money in the bank. If he doesn't screw up, he's got it.
So people were saying, they're kind of weird.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Hey, I want you on NBC, or if I'm assuming that some of the outdoors are on NBC this summer.
Yeah.
I want you to actually ask Michael Alessi that. What do you say to those out there that say you are kind of weird?
I think I can. I think Matt just pretty much asked Tony that on the show a couple weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just like, what do you say to people who think that you guys are unorthodox or something?
Unorthodox. Maybe I'll change it to unorthodox. Yeah. To sound
no, I want kind of weird. I want it in that tone and everything.
Yeah.
There were so many questions about them. It was the winning of the race, really, that wasn't what everybody wanted to know about. They wanted to know about this weird program they had. What's the deal with them?
Yeah.
You don't hear that with San Cirillo. You just hear that he's good.
Yeah. All right. And like I said, I got a couple of sleepers in the 450 class that I'm really excited about. Brett Metcalf and Chisholm. I really think Metty is going to turn it on. I've been getting reports that he's on it on testing. So what do you guys think? Can Metcalf, who's going to do better, Metcalf or Chisholm? JT?
I think Metty will be good. Metty's... He's kind of that Andrew Short type guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously doesn't have the results that Shorty has yet, but he's and I feel like I'm in that same mold too, just further back. Seriously. I was gonna touch on this about Shorty earlier, but we just covered it. May not be flashy and may not have the fast flats on every time or whatever, but looking at the results, all right. Yep, there he is again. He's where he's at every time, I feel like, all right, yeah, there I am. I'm in 13th or I'm in 15th or whatever. Yep, there Shorty is. He's third or he's fifth or whatever. You may not even see him the whole moto. You didn't even know he was there that weekend, but there he is. Checker flag up. Yeah, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Metty's that kind of guy outdoors. You may not get the whole shot and you may not even see him. He's just kind of got a cloak on out there, but he's strong, He puts the work in, and I know he works harder than the majority of the guys out there. So I think his first year on a 450, he'll be good, if he can keep it on two wheels because, the light spike's obviously a lot mm-hmm. different. He's going to be good for sure. I also already obviously picked all the Moto Concepts guys, so, you're welcome on that one.
So is he going to beat Chisholm?
Metty, yes. I think he will beat Chisholm, yes.
Wygant?
I think Chisholm's riding better than he's ever ridden, but I still don't know if he's going to be quite at the level of Metcalf. I mean, Metcalf was nearly winning nationals, came really close a bunch of times. Chisholm, I don't think he's ever been quite that fast. But as a caveat, on this show last year, someone did say that he was really thinking Meddy was going to be the huge surprise sleeper.
Yes.
No one was thinking that he was going to win races in the lights class last year. Somebody said that, and it wasn't Jason, and it wasn't this Jason. So
no. It
only leaves you.
It was me.
So that's 2 years in a row, and do you feel that he actually lived up to the hype you were giving him last year?
No.
Right. So be careful.
I don't know. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Meddy.
Meddy's cool, for sure.
I know. He is. He's a good dude.
Meddy works hard. Like, I think he works harder than most people realize.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah. He works harder than I thought when I kind of first got around him, which was a few years ago, and saw, the work he was. He worked harder than I realized, and it's, I've been around a lot of guys, and I've seen a lot of people's programs. It's one of the toughest ones, I bet.
Do you think maybe you need to get on that program to capture this Dade City Cup race?
I'm on a pretty gnarly one right now. I haven't been riding a lot because I kind of am taking this week off of riding, but I kind of started a new training and gym program that's pretty ridiculous. I'm interested to see if I can keep up with it when I have to ride also.
Okay.
But he's gnarly. I mean, Dungey, I think Dungey has the toughest program of any that I've heard about or seen. But I think Meddy's one of the top hardest working guys for sure.
Wow. What about your program?
I'd like to, anyone that always says that the races are just based on who works hardest wins. There's your proof right there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but Shorty's gnarly.
Well, that's what I mean, but everybody, Shorty hasn't won at all on a 450. Is that from lack of trying? Or Metcalf hasn't won a race in a life spike. Is that from lack of trying? I wish it was as simple as the hardest working guy wins, but it's not like that in life or in racing.
Well, that's what makes our sport much different, because I think in many sports it is that. I think cycling is very much that. I think, football, you can tell who's been working and who hasn't. But our sport is... There's been guys that don't work at all that can run up front. So
Davey Millsaps, sorry.
You can't say that. I got it. There's no way. I guarantee you. There's no way that he's not doing anything.
There's guys that can run up front and don't work at all. You just said that. So give us a guy. Give us some guys that have. JT's in a corner now. Math is painted him.
No, I think Chad has run up front coming off of doing nothing. I've seen it. I've seen it.
Like,
literally doing nothing.
It's super.
Not one thing other than sitting on the couch, and he's run up front.
Okay.
That's not recent, but I've seen it. I've witnessed it.
Yamaha
and
days?
I shook my head and yelled cuss words about it.
Yamaha days?
No, unfair.
Yamaha days outdoors, or what do you give us a time?
No, Yamaha Dade Supercross,
okay.
Like 08 championship.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He didn't do much, and that's giving him a lot of credit.
I know.
He didn't do much.
No, he didn't. He didn't. There were some times he got lucky to make it to riders meeting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the season was a lot more dramatic than it could have been because of his lack. Kind of how it dropped off. But
right.
I'm telling you right now. For him to be winning races and winning a championship at that level of effort is shocking. it's literally incredible.
Larry Ward told me back in the day that he would never practice and he would run top 10 all day long. Never practice, he told me.
And Supercross?
No, outdoors, when he was Moto Triple X.
That's my point.
I believe that. You know what? I have an interesting point to make on that, because I want to know at what point of the season he's talking about.
Yeah, because this was near the end, so he was.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah. See, that statement holds no, doesn't hold water with me, because by the end of the season, you don't even have to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, you're right, especially back then, because we raced weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend. It was like straight through, pretty much.
Right.
You don't have to. I mean, it hurts you a little bit, but the weekends are so gnarly, especially when we had Saturday practice and Sunday racing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the time you recovered, you recovered like fully by like Wednesday, and then whatever, like you have like 1 or 2 days off of doing nothing, and then you're back, practice on Saturday. So that doesn't surprise me.
Well, again, what are you doing to get prepared for announcing the whole summer?
I just put in a good solid 2 hours and 2.5 hours with you guys.
No, hour and a half.
Hour and a half? Is that not preparation? We covered every angle I could possibly ever have to think about.
What's it like? Well, again, working with Bailey and MA, do you have to change anything? Are you the exact same guy both times? Both partners?
Last year I didn't, but I think this year it's going to be mixed up a little more. No one gave me any feedback whatsoever before the shows, even though at the beginning of the year they're like, this guy's never done live TV before. He's probably got a lot to learn. Yet at the same time, no one taught me anything. So just by watching other speed shows and picking up on the tiny, tiny nuggets of information that were out there, I believe that speed's goals are to make their shows very casual. They want their shows to come across like two guys bench racing, watching it just like you would as a fan at home. And I was trying to be ultra-professional, ultra-polished, ultra-slick announcer guy. So I'm going to go in a different direction this year. And I think that really works well for Emig. I think Emig likes working that way as well. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty fun guy, you know. Bailey's a little bit more serious, more methodical or
more
something.
Analytical.
Maybe. Analytical, that's it.
Yeah.
So I think this year it's going to be a lot different, depending on, because I think it's 6 and 6. Each are going to do half. So last year the shows are similar, but I think this year you'll notice a big difference depending on who you get.
Are you going to show up?
Who you like.
Are you going to show up drunk then? Is that what you're saying? Just kind of...
Yeah, I might even go to Havasu with Fro just to get into it.
Reunite it?
Yeah, just this is how it works, right?
Right. Is Aaron Bates going to be the pit reporter, or is it other dude, the professional BMX guy?
Bates is there, but Bates is not. It's just on the NBC shows. Whatever the contract situation is. I'm not sure, but I think it's because Bates is CBS Supercross, and that means she can't do NBC, something like that. I don't know.
Okay, all right. So I'm not trying to pin anybody down or nothing. It's not a...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, a lot of times there's, like, the reason why things change on TV are things you wouldn't even think about. Like, I didn't even think Supercross on CBS, and Aaron was on that, something like that.
JT, are you in between trying to capture the Dade City Cup and beating Michael Pacone? Are you going to make it out to any races?
Yeah, I'm going to come watch a couple. I haven't decided which ones yet, but I want to come see some. Honestly, like, outdoors is a lot of work for sure to get ready for.
Yeah.
And, you know, the economy's kind of killed. Like, you know, Suzuki doesn't take attendance this year and stuff like that. So it's really hard to make money racing outdoors unless you have a decent salary or something to do it. So. Mm-hmm. And last year I crashed at Hangtown at the first one and cracked some ribs and didn't race. And I had a blast watching, honestly. Like, I loved it. I had so much fun just, you know, having that pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being able to watch the race. So definitely plan on that. Obviously, I want to go to Designations and watch that, too. So looking forward to it. It's going to be kind of a different summer, but I'm pumped.
And you know I'm doing that bottom line show again, so whatever national...
So you're doing that. That'll be cool.
Whatever nationals you show up at, you're going to be my co-host.
Let's bring it. Let's do it.
And then, why again, are you guys still doing the Racer X show? Is that all?
We actually are. We're just trying to plan that today, how that's going to work on Fridays, because Friday is no longer press day. Thursday is.
Uh-huh.
So we don't know what riders will actually be at the track on Fridays. We'll have to scramble.
That affects
maybe
me too.
Autograph signing. That'll be our chance.
I'm hoping to film at Fridays as well. So,
you know what I think the key Friday might be? And we could work in tandem on this. We might have to go to the dealership autograph signings to find people.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
But it's a possibility.
Won't the guys be there in their motorhomes, the dudes that travel? Like, you know, they'll just be there in their motorhomes.
Yeah, right? I had that suggested to me, but it's obviously a lot harder than, you know, if you range in advance, I'm sure you can do it. But I'm not going to just go knocking on motorhomes being like, hey.
Oh, I will.
Actually, that could be part of your show.
Yeah, that could be. So Racer X will be, we'll have the motocross show. Racer X will have, what else?
Just the Redux column on Tuesday, very big.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Very huge.
Let's cover that. And, of course, podcasts now, too. You're doing Racer X podcasts.
Yes, but they're not race-related, so to speak.
Right.
I don't mean race-related as in this is a Rodney King issue. I mean not related to the race scene.
And JT, we can see you at Dade City this summer. And then maybe
I'll be holding it down. I'll be out there.
And, hey, thanks, guys, for both of you. Thanks to Adam C. and Cirillo, who's long gone now. But thanks for him coming on the show. Thank you guys for doing this show. I appreciate it. It's one of my funner ones I do all year, and I look forward to it. So
yeah, I'll be in Mexico, too, that race in Mexico.
What's that, JT?
I'll be at that race in Mexico, too.
What race in Mexico?
There's a race, and I don't know, I guess supposedly Everest is coming. Sebastian Portela is putting it together, so I've already signed a contract for it. But
It's I think Guadalajara in August.
And rekindle our the chemistry we have for the Race Rec show. Can you at least come to Millville?
Millville? It's a possibility. I haven't even looked at the schedule to see if I have a Dade City Championship conflicting that day. Huh. But I'll look into it. You laugh. You laugh, but it's serious business out there. Michael Pacone he's on a roll. He's on fire.
You need to run up to the top of a mountain and just yell, Pacone! You know?
Yeah, trust me. I've looked into every avenue, looked into calling it a hit on him.
The bounty. Really. You got to get that bounty.
No, I'm talking about like a legitimate hit.
Oh.
Butler Brothers more mafia, I didn't realize.
I've incriminated myself now.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks, and I'll talk to you both soon.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you.